Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23 to 38. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23 to 38. I'd like to read for you. The land is moreover shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are but aliens and sojourners with me. Thus, for every piece of your properties, you are to provide for the redemption of the land. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. Or in case a man has no kinsman, but so recovers his means as to find sufficient for his redemption, then he shall calculate the year since its sale and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and so return to his properties. But if he has not found the sufficient means to get it back for himself, then what he has sold shall remain in the hands of its purchaser until the year of Jubilee, but at the Jubilee it shall revert, then he may return to his properties. Likewise, if a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, then his redemption right remains valid until a full year from its sale. His right of redemption lasts a full year, but if it is not bought back for him within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the world city passes permanently to its purchase throughout his generation. It does not revert in the Jubilee. The houses of the village, however, which have no surrounding world, shall be considered as open field. They have a redemption right and revert in Jubilee. As for cities of the Levite have a permanent right of a redemption for the house of the cities which are their possession. What therefore belongs to the Levite may be redeemed, and a house sale in the year of this possession revert in the Jubilee, for the house of the cities of the Levite are their possession among the sons of Israel. But pasture fields of their cities shall not be sold, for that is their perpetual possessions. Now, in case of a countryman of yours becomes poor and his means with regard to you falter, then you are to sustain him like a stranger or sojourner, that he may live with you. Do not take usurious interest from him, but liver your God, that your countryman may live with you. You shall not give him your silver at interest, not your food for gain. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan to be your God. This is the word of God. Today's title is Land Redemption and the Jubilee, Part 1. Land Redemption and the Jubilee, Part 1. Hallelujah. Today, through this passage, we encounter two important terms, land redemptions and the system of the goel and the jubilee. These two terms do not refer merely a simple restoration of land for the people of Israel, nor are they simplify a set of legal regulations intended to inform us. Rather, they repent God's spiritual blueprint to restore his eternal inheritance to all of humanity who, after Adam's fall, lost the Garden of Eden given by God, became slaves to sin and death, and lost all the inheritance God had given them. To understand God's spiritual blueprint, we must first examine in detail the major regulation and events concerning the redemption of land and the Jubilee year through today's passage, Leviticus chapter 25. The Jubilee year refers to the 50th year, the year following seven cycles of seven Sabbath years or 49 years. The Jubilee is Yobel in Hebrew. It means a trumpet made from the horn of the ram, because on the Day of Atonement, the 10th day of the 7th month of the 50th year, when the Jubilee begins, a trumpet made from a ram's horn was blown to announce the start of the Jubilee. However, when this word was translated into Latin, that is, Jubileus, become Jubilee in English. The Korean Bible translated in using Chinese characters, rendering it as the year of joy. In the Bible, the origin of the Jubilee is traced back to the Exodus, the liberation from slavery in Egypt, and the Jubilee is defined as the 50th year following the year of Exodus. The first act of the Jubilee is to proclaim the freedom to all the people of Israel. According to the Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, I like to read, "You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own properties, and each of you shall return to his families." This means that all those who had been sold into slavery are set free and become free peoples. The Jubilee year is the time when God himself is grant freedom and restore those who cannot afford to pay their own ransom. The reason God proclaimed freedom first is that without the freedom, no one can enjoy the rest that God gives. Amen. Why did people become slaves? Whether due to poverty or for some other reason, when a person borrows money from another and cannot repay the debt, they are forced to sell their land. However, if they could not buy back their land, their family would be scattered, and ultimately the tragic situation would arise where they would have to sell themselves into slavery just to survive. Although people today do not fall into slavery, they still end up as credit defaulters or debtors. However, when the Jubilee year arrived, God issues a command. People were set free from slavery, their lost land and inheritance were returned to the original owners, and all debts were forgiven, allowing them to enjoy rest. Thus, the Jubilee year is the year when families who had been scattered are reunited and restored to a normal life. However, even before the Jubilee year arrives, there is a way to reclaim land that has been sold. According to the Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25 to 27, please listen carefully. "If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold. Or in case a man has no kinsman but so recovers his means as to find sufficient for his redemption, then he shall calculate the year since its sale and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and so return to his properties. First, a close relative man come forward to purchase the land on his behalf and return it to him. Second, if the person himself to become wealthy and has the means to repay the debt, he may calculate the number of years remains until the Jubilee year and make the payment. Here the process, the whereby a close relative pays the price of the rent and repurchase it to return it to the original owners. When the person himself lacks the means to do so, is called rent redemption. However, for this rent redemption to take place, we must understand a very important concept. The premise is that God is the owner of all rent and properties. Since God is clearly the creator, He is naturally the owner of all things. The Bible proclaims that the heavens and the earth and everything in them belong to God, according to the Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all is contained, the world and those who dwell in it. Furthermore, as a second premise, we must acknowledge that we are merely sojourners, the temporary dwelling on the land that belong to God, the owner of all land. Let's look at the Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine. For you are but aliens and sojourners with me. In short, we are those who have received the right to lease this land from God. Why is this premise necessary? If the land did not belong to God, the land sold would become the eternal properties of the buyer. Therefore, if the original owner did not wish to sell, the opportunity to regain ownership of the land would be lost. In other words, although people buy and sell the land of Canaan that God gave to Israel, since God is the original owner of the land, such transactions are not, strictly speaking, a transfer of ownership, but rather the buying and selling of leasehold rights as tenants. The purchaser of the land effectively holds a 50-year lease. When the Jubilee year arrives, the ordinance of the Jubilee requires that the land be returned to the one from whom it was originally received from God, regardless of whether the debt has been fully repaid or not. Therefore, the redemption of land is possible. This concept holds tremendous significance in the history of our redemptions. Due to Adam's fall, we lost the Garden of Eden and became slaves to sin and death, children of the devil. However, if our ownership does not belong to God, we can never be liberated from sin, death, and the devil. Although we temporarily became the devil's possession by disobeying God's word, our eternal ownership belongs to God, which is why we can be reclaimed from the devils. However, the fatal limitation of the Jubilee is that it is repeated every 50 years. The fact that the Jubilee year came every 50 years means that in the intervening periods, the people become poor again, become slave again, and had to sell their land again. This indicates that although there was a spiritual Jubilee year, sin still existed, and the cycle of death and slavery to Satan continued to repeat itself. This tells us that the Jubilee year prescribed by the law cannot bring about eternal and complete redemptions. Redemption of the land is not merely about regaining possession of the land. Rather, it is a prophetic word calling us to a long for an eternal and complete jubilee, one in which the severed relationship with God, both spiritually and physically, is restored so that the God reign may fully extend extend over us. The Bible prophesies that such a time will come. According to the Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3, I'd like to read for you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the land, that the favorable year of the land is a jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting. So they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. The book of Isaiah essentially speaks of an eternal jubilee that is never repeated. It speaks of the coming of the eternal jubilee, a year in which we receive God's grace, being set free from all sin and death and released from captivity. At that time, it will not be a matter of seeking a lost inheritance, but rather the gospel will be preached to those who are to receive every inheritance. Healing will take place, the freedom will be granted, and the work of joy and new creation as new creatures and the citizens of heaven will bring restoration among us. Amen. Jesus is the one who came to fulfill this, and he himself proclaimed that he had come as the eternal jubilee. At the beginning of his public ministry, after overcoming all the temptation of the devil, the Lord entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and read from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. I'd like to read one more time. It's from Luke chapter 4, 15 to 21. And he began teaching in their synagogue and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogues were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. The Lord proclaimed right there where you heard the words of Isaiah chapter 61, that the eternal jubilee had been fulfilled that very day. What we had lost was not the visible land, but the image and the likeness of God, the Spirit of God, and the position of God's Son, the eternal inheritance God had given us. Jesus came as our goal to restore that those to us and grant us the eternal jubilee and the eternal rest. This is according to the Galatians chapter 3, verse 22-23, is described there. But the scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. This passage specifically is explained that Jesus came to those who were imprisoned under sin and the law because of the fall in order to grant liberation to those who believe in him and to restore them to their original state. Therefore, the word redeeming the land is Hebrew of galua, which means to buy back, to ransom, to redeem. Why did he use the term redemption goel rather than simply saying to buy back? It is because this restores the entire lost life to its original state, the state it was in before everything was lost. The key point here is that the restoration does not occur simply because the close relatives take it back for free. Rather, it takes on the meaning of a redemption because it is achieved by paying the price on the person's behalf. Therefore, the fact that we have been redeemed implies that restoration was achieved because God, that is, Jesus, paid the price. Thus, Jesus, who is our goel, was able to pay the lawful price for our sins and redeem us. Amen. However, to become our spiritual goel, four conditions must be met. The first one, he must be humans. An angel cannot redeem our inheritance. This is because the human sin was committed by human, so the price must be paid by humans. This is why Jesus, the Word, became flesh and came in the likeness of us. According to the Rome chapter 5, verse 19, let's read, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made of sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. Above all, this is because an angel is not the Son of God. According to the Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, for to which of the angels did he ever say, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee, and again I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me? It's question. There is impossible, right? So you have to meet the mind there. And the second is they must be close relatives. Close relatives. We must not lose sight of the concept of close relatives when considering the role of the goel. It is not merely someone who pays the debt on another's behalf. This is because for Israel, the land was not simply properties, but an inheritance that God had given to each tribe and family from generation to generation. Therefore, it is close relatives as part of the blood-related community who has the duty to preserve the inheritance given by God rather than a third party. Another person could pay off the debt out of the charity. However, redemption is not merely the settlement of a debt. It is the recovery of what God has given and restoration of our relationship with God. That is why close relative was absolutely necessary. The Lord is our close relative, our brothers, according to the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sacrificed are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I give you another one, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I like to read, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the fourth, that is, he must have power. Human beings, being sinners, lack the ability to pay the price for their own sins. Jesus possessed the power of God, enabling him to shatter and overcome all sin and power of death. Because God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with the power. You can find at the Acts chapter 10, verse 38. So he went doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. God was with him. Amen. He is the one who not only nailed to the cross and nullified the record of death by which Satan day and night accused us before God of all our sins, but also disarmed the rulers and authorities of darkness and the powers of the air, making a public spectacle of them. You can find that this content is Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Especially is, I let you read verse 14 and 15, having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Amen. The first, you must have a willing heart. We have a willing heart. No matter how much strength or ability you have, you cannot redeem someone if you are unwilling. Self-sacrifice is required. There is an incident in the book of Luke where redemption could not take place because a relative was unwilling. According to the Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 6, the story is like that. The boss called upon the man who was entitled to redeem the inheritance of Naomi and Ruth before him and asked, "Will you redeem the inheritance?" The kinsman redeemer then quickly weighed his options. At first, he said she would pay the price of the land. However, since the boss pointed out that the redeeming the inheritance would also require him to provide for the two women, meaning he would have to take Ruth as his wife, and that if she bore a son, the land would not belong to him, but would be held in the name of the original owner, Elimelech. He realized there would be nothing left for him. Consequently, he relinquished his right as the kinsman redeemer. Interestingly, he has no name. In verse 1, when the boss addressed him, he calls him the friend. That is not because he originally has no name, but because although he bore responsibility to redeem the properties, he lacked the concern and self-sacrifice necessary to ensure that the name of his deceased relatives, Elimelech, would not be cut off. Although he bore the sacred duty of the kinsman redeemer, he failed to fulfill that mission for his own benefit. Thus, he became a nameless person before God, one who was not recognized. Boaz, however, as a man of influence, he's what the strong was, took full responsibilities for everything. He was a foreshadowing of Jesus himself. Jesus was willing to redeem the land for us who are of no value, even to the point of laying down his own life. However, there is a warning in Scripture that even if a qualified kinsman redeemer exists, if he does not redeem the land within the specified time, it becomes the permanent possession of the living. According to the Leviticus chapter 25, verse 29 to 30, I like to read, likewise, if a man sells a dwelling house in a walled city, then his redemption right remains valid until a full year from its sale. His right of the redemption lasts a full year. But if it is not bought back for him within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the world city passes permanently to its purchaser throughout his generation. It does not revert in the Jubilee. The Bible records that when redeeming a house with a world city, it must be done within 1 year. This teaches us that every opportunity has an expiration date. It tells us that the grace and opportunities for restorations given to us will not wait indefinitely. The rule of the goyim who redeemed the inheritance goes beyond a mere economic transaction. It is a holy act that fulfills God's work of redemption by restoring what was lost from the inheritance he gave. When we are called to a place of God's grace and to fulfill our mission, we must respond immediately without delay. According to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is warning to us, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listen to you, and on the day of salvation I help you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In other words, there is no one but the Lord who can redeem our land. All believers who have welcomed Jesus as their goyim have entered the Jubilee year. We are those who have heard the Lord's declaration that through the redemption of the land, he has rescued us from the clutches of the devil and restored us completely. There is a day omitted from the Lord quotation of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2. I'd like to read one more time. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. I'll give you another one. Luke chapter 4 verse 19. Please compare that. to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Jesus does not mention about the day of vengeance of our God. It is precisely the task of proclaiming the day of God's vengeance that remains for us. In other words, I pray in the name of the Lord that we who have obtained true freedom may become good soldiers of Christ, triumph in the battle against Satan, and thus all become the protagonist of the eternal jubilee, knowing that the day has come for the God to avenge his enemies. Amen. Okay, let us all pray together. We give thanks for the Father's great grace and love. Though we have heard countless times about the Goel and the Jubilee, we thank you for enabling us through today's message to understand why God established the laws of the land redemption on the Goel. We are the grateful that you have shown us that the way to eternal life is to long for and receive Jesus, our one and only true God, who came to bring us complete salvation for the sake of our salvations. Amen. Even though you have enabled us through your great grace and love to welcome Jesus, who has come as our eternal goal and our eternal jubilee, please forgive us for falling to boast and proclaim this truth with our lips. May we realize that these are the last days, the time when the final grace and the completion of salvation must be fulfilled, and may we live lives appropriate to the season. May you make us into good soldiers of Christ who cross in the power of Jesus, fight against the Satan and the devil, and emerge victorious. Thus may all the saints of the First Church participate in the eternal jubilee given by the Father. As we pray and ask for all these things, we offer this prayer of thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.